Now, there is a case now pending in the Federal Circuit. The Columbia Sportswear versus Sears case is up to the Federal Circuit for the second time. And the Columbia design patent claims a heat reflective material. And the patented design is, in fact, a heat reflective material. Figure one is a regular size illustration. Figure two is an enlargement of the design shown in figure one. Here is the infringing product next to the patented design. I say infringing product. That was the holding in the first time around. We don't know exactly what the holding will be this time, but this is what Cirrus product looks like. Now, the case, which I'll talk about actually in a minute, but the Federal Circuit found no infringement, remanded the case to the district court for a retrial. And during the retrial, the attorneys for the defendant, Cirrus, introduced prior art in front of the jury. They introduced three pieces of what I've called comparison prior art. And the first piece of prior art was directed to a method of providing plastic sheets with inlaid stripes, not exactly a heat reflective material. The second piece of prior art was a breathable shell for outerwear. And the third piece of comparison prior art was unwoven fabric and process for making the same. And there was nothing in these three pieces of prior art that mentioned any heat reflective properties. And the jury was presented with this prior art, and you can see why it was used by the defendant, because, you know, it had a wavy pattern similar to the patented design. So the jury said no infringement. The case is, again, now on appeal to the Federal Circuit based on the prior art. The comparison prior art was not a heat reflective material. Now, Columbia has filed its opening brief. We're waiting for Cirrus brief. But in the opening brief of Columbia, they framed the issues like this. There were two issues. Well, there were more than two issues. But the two that were directly related to Surgisil, the first was whether the district court erred in instructing the jury that all prior patents are comparison prior art to a design patent, and in failing to instruct the jury to limit the scope of comparison prior art for the infringement analysis to, quote, heat reflective materials, which is the article of manufacture identified in the asserted patent. Now, the second issue is backing up a little bit on that, and whether in the alternative, the district court erred in failing to instruct the jury that the scope of the prior art in the design patent is limited to designs of the same article of manufacture or of articles so similar that a person of ordinary skill would look to such articles as their designs. Now we can see, again, these are questions of first impression. And we're looking forward to seeing what Cirrus says about this, and of course how the court comes down on this. Now, the Surgisil case can also affect the determination, the definition of the article of manufacture when measuring damages. If you recall, 35 U.S.C. 289 says whoever sells any article of manufacture to which the patented design has been applied will be liable to the owner to the extent of his total profit. In the Apple case, the Supreme Court said, well, the article of manufacture that you measure total profit can be either the end product sold by the infringer or a component of that product. The question the court left open, how do you determine the article of manufacture? to know whether it's the end product sold by the infringer or only a component. And neither the Federal Circuit or the Supreme Court has spoken specifically to that issue. Courts have wrestled with it. In fact, what they've done is they've used a four-factor test that was set up in the solicitor's brief before the Supreme Court, which was not adopted by the Supreme Court, but litigants have been using that in subsequent litigation.